Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. Well, good evening. And it is a cold, icy evening here in North Carolina. Hope that it's warm where you are. So it's 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and that means it's Wednesday, and that means it's time for the Journey 8. So we left off last week in part one of two parts of our program, because we had a special guest who was just awesome. And if any of you missed that show, please go to the archives and punch it up. It was fun. And so we'll pick up the show with part two, and we'll see how it goes. So, as you know, we start every program with some announcements. And I have a couple. And also, if you're here in the local Greensboro area and you're listening to the program, you can always send me if your nonprofit is doing something like garage sales or what have you, and you need some airtime. Hey, you know, we'll give it to you. Anyway, first announcement. I lied again. My website's still not ready. I understand what these companies go through now when they try and convert things and bring in new computers and stuff. I have a simple little website that I can't get finished. And yes, I am ADD. I know that. Look up ADD in the dictionary. There's my picture right next to it. But that being said, I really try to get it done. Now, I am not going to tell you when this website's going to be finished. Therefore, I won't lie anymore. And when it is, I will let you know. So, there's one. Number two, PurposeGames.com, Bible trivia. I have forgotten the last few weeks with the holidays and everything to remind you to go to PurposeGames.com and plug in the Journey 8 on the search box in the corner, right-hand corner, and you'll find some Bible trivia quizzes. See how you do. You know, never know. You might know more about the Bible than you think. Last but not least, I was able to spend some time just a short time ago with a very dear friend who is so talented, a beautiful musician, and a Christian woman who's going to be a darn good preacher one of these days. And her name is Jen Phipps. And I have been telling you for the last few months on and off about a trip to Mozambique, Africa, that she is planning. She's planned to do this all her life. She's been wanting to go to Africa on a missionary trip all her life, and she's finally been accepted and is going in March. So here's the deal. The deal is she needs $3,000. To pay for her tickets. Most missionaries do not get a free ride. They have to chalk up some money off their own, out of their own pocketbook. She needs $3,000 to get there and get back home. She started a web page or a page on a website called GoFundMe.com, and she's asking for help. And here's what I've asked you to do. If you're listening, and if you can, I want you to give up whatever you spend for lunch one day. In other words, if you brown bag it, just estimate what that lunch would have cost. If you go out to lunch, take a look at the tab. And whatever you spend for lunch that day, I would love it if you would go to GoFundMe.com and donate towards her tickets. It's a simple thing, and you can do it online. It's safe. They have PayPal or whatever all those places are that you use to put money. And they will get her money to her to buy her tickets. So her name is Jen, J-E-N, Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S. See if you can find her. If you can't, you can send me a note at RevJudy@closerwalkwithyou.com, and I will walk you through the process. Okay, so those are the main things that that I had to say tonight. The only other thing I'm going to say is because we're icing over and the studio down here at my home is right on the outside wall, if I have to disconnect early because my lights go off for my safety notice, I'll apologize now. I'm not ignoring you. It's just that the system needs to shut down. So that's that. Okay, so let's talk about the other half of a simple New Year's resolution. We started this last week, and I want to finish it this week. And then we're going to jump into a three-part series that I think you're going to enjoy. So, as we always do, we need to read the scriptures that go with the message. And although you may have been listening last week, there might be some people that weren't. So, we'll do our little scripture thing. And, as you know, the safety warning must be said before the scripture is written, read, whatever. So here we go. Those of you that are regulars and know this, sing along with me or speak along with me. And those of you that are new, just know that this is our little tongue-in-cheek thing that we do every week. So here we go. No bus drivers, crane operators, truck and or tractor drivers, race car drivers, half-blind golf cart operators, aircraft pilots, train engineers, ship captains, motorcycle drivers, or anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat should divert their attention from what they are doing to find this passage right now. Wait until it is safe for you to do so, and then go ahead. In the meantime, be assured that I am reading the right scriptures to you for today's message. Everyone else listening, pull out your Bibles, Kindles, Nooks, iPads, iPods, iPhones, Androids, and any other smart or dumb device, and follow along with me. We are going to be in the book of Philippians, which is New Testament, halfway through. Chapter 3, verse is 12 through 14. And then we're going to skip right over to Romans 8, 28. Okay, so here is Philippians. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that was the Apostle Paul. And Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Okay, so how do these two go together, and how do they relate to a simple New Year's resolution? As I mentioned last week, I gave a lot of thought to, the typical New Year's resolutions that we always make and we always break right about now. And I said, I think we need to have something simpler, something that we can really focus on. And it's all good and kind that you want to, exercise or lose weight or whatever. But here is my simple New Year's resolution for 2015. Let's make this one simple, simple, simple. And it basically is that we're going to make a change for the better. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a change for the better. And then to help us do that, I have three ways in which we can make a change for the better. The first one, which was read last week, was to develop a positive attitude about your life. Take a look at it. Try and find the positive in it. Focus on the positive. That was the first one. Tonight we start off with number two. And number two goes something like this. Develop a positive attitude towards church. Yeah, well, I hear the stampede running already. But let me tell you something. For all those of you who have been hurt, disappointed, discouraged, disillusioned, and just plain on disgusted about church, change your mind. It's changed. Many of the churches today are nothing like what you may have encountered that turned you off. More and more churches are open and affirming. They accept people in the place that they're at. They accept people of all color, all creeds. And they've realized that the job of the church is to heal, not to hurt. I think we need to have a positive attitude towards church. And I don't say that as a self-serving way at all. Because one thing that's right about the church is that our desire is simply to lift up Jesus, to reach out to a lost and dying world with a message of salvation. That is it. That is the job of the church. And when I say the church, I mean church universal, not one particular church. And yet at times I hear people criticizing the church. And, as a minister, I don't probably hear as much of it that, really is going on. But I catch a lot of it. And I hear how the church has let them down or hurt them, as I said. Disappointed, discouraged, disgusted. And it doesn't help that there's so much negative in the news within the last 10 years of bad things that have happened at the churches. And that's sad. It makes me sad because that's not what the typical church is about any more than you could say every Lions Club in the United States is corrupt because one was, or every, bingo hall. No, anyway, I don't want to go to bingo because that'll make the Catholics really mad at me, huh? Anyway, so for instance, and this is true, someone came up to me a few weeks ago and said, I'm here because so-and-so is becoming a member today and I'm a friend, but I'm not interested in coming to church. The church costs too much. It seems like we're always worried about how much something costs when it comes to our spiritual home, yet we can run out and buy a new toy for little Johnny at a heartbeat. This person, and I won't identify them, literally said, all the church does is ask for money. It just costs me too much. You know, I'm paying left and right. It's like, huh? Do we go to the same church? Haven't I seen you in here before? It's like, I don't get it, but there's a lot of people that feel that way. So there must be some kind of signal that's being put out there. In Matthew 26, there's an interesting account, and the story is just, an interesting account of something that happened as Jesus ate with his disciples. If you remember the story, and I'm sure most of you do, a woman brought a jar filled with an expensive salve, ointment that was just, extremely expensive. She broke it and anointed his head with the perfumed ointment. So here's this woman, unknown, comes in while he's sitting with his disciples eating dinner, and she starts putting salve or ointment all over his head and shoulders. Immediately, some of the disciples, jumped up and they said, what a waste. That jar of salve could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And, they were giving her kind of a hard time. But Jesus defended her, saying, why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. When she poured this ointment on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. And, of course, that just went right over their heads. You see, we Christians sometimes have a different value system than the world. Well, that's a newsflash, isn't it? You're probably saying, no joke. The world would consider something a waste that we consider valuable. The world thinks you're wasting your time going to church. You want to hear about God and Jesus, yet the world thinks that's a waste. You want it to be with those who share your faith and lift you up. That's a waste. When the world looks at your tax return and sees you gave away 10 or 15 or 20% of your income to help build the kingdom of God here on earth, guess what? They call that a waste. But in my mind, the things the world calls wasteful today are probably the only things that will last for eternity. Yeah. Remember, when the woman poured the ointment on him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. So that's where that story comes from. And that's, a big stepping stone for Jesus to reprimand the disciples for giving this gal a hard time. So we need to understand, that when we risk something for God, we could lose very easily. We've won the big battle already because Jesus went and died for us on the cross. But we might lose some of the smaller battles along the way, because whether we like it or not, Satan is still the prince of this world. And there's a lot of things going on that are not God's will. You know, I'd rather be trying, and I've said this before, I'd rather be trying something great for God and fail than be playing it spiritually wrong and succeed. After all, eternity is a long, long time to gamble. I'm not willing to put that chip on the table. You know, I've been, you know, my friends will tell you I'm a crazy card player. I'm very competitive, and I'm a little impulsive. So I can put every chip on the table, but that one, I refuse to put that one on the table. So, you know, I'm not willing to gamble eternity for something here on earth. That's not a fair, I mean, when you think about it, that's not a fair thing to do. You know, John Wesley, he was a cool guy, actually. He was an English preacher around the 1700s. And John Wesley, you know, ended up starting a movement of his own. But he was considered a rather spiffy dresser. I mean, this guy was I can't think of the guy's name. You know, Saturday Night Live. Ooh. Saturday Night Fever, I guess it was called, with all the spiffy clothes. And so here he is, preacher, and he's, a dapper Dan. So one Sunday, I love this story. Okay, I'm laughing. That's not fair, is it? One Sunday morning, he wore a bow tie that had a long ribbon hanging downwards. That was kind of the trend in the 1700s. So after the sermon was over, this little old lady walks up to him and said, "Brother Wesley, are you open to some criticism?" He said, "Well, I guess so. What would you like to criticize?" She said, "The ribbons on your tie are entirely too long and inappropriate for a man of God." She took out a pair of scissors and cut them off. A hush fell over the people standing there as Wesley calmly looked at her and asked, "Now, may I borrow the scissors for a moment?" And as she handed them to him, he said, "Ma'am, are you open to some criticism? Here we go." She answered, "Well, I suppose I am." He said, "All right then, please stick out your tongue." All right. See, us ministers can laugh. I found that joke long time ago. And it's like, yeah, it's true. In Ephesians 4:15, Paul tells us that we need to speak the truth in love. We need to make sure it is the truth. But we also need to be sure that we are speaking it in the spirit of love. This all goes to this heading that I made of Simple New Year's Resolution Part 2. And this is, you know, getting back to your church. We need to develop a positive attitude towards the church and those in it. The truth is that we are human and we all make mistakes. We all do. Oh my goodness. There may be times that you will be disappointed or hurt by someone in the church. Someone in the church. But don't let that steal your joy in the love of Christ. You know, the bottom line is, you control your feelings and how you respond. In love should be true to Paul's words. Speak the truth. Never let yourself be trapped. but speak it in love. Neither Christ or Paul, expects anyone to be a doormat. You know, Jesus never said, come to me, follow me, and I will make you doormats. That's not. But humility and love are so often confused with being codependent, which brings me to my third point. So here we are, you know, supposedly these doormats. And our third point. Remember that little lady that liked to cut ribbons off of bow ties? Remember her? Well, I think about her when I wrote this section. Robert Schuller once wrote, "It would amaze us how many people we could influence for Christ if we would just treat people nicely." I think he's got a point. You know, this is a hard world, a world that doesn't always exercise courtesy and care. Sometimes it's a dog-eat-dog world. You've heard that saying. People are jockeying for all positions on the freeways and in their companies. They're filled with all kinds of stress and anxiety. When I retired several years ago and moved to North Carolina from the San Francisco Bay Area, I said, wow, what a sleepy little town. How wonderful. Oops, there goes a car. Yeah. So I go from the craziness to nothing really happening there. Grass is growing. It's a hard world, a world that doesn't always exercise courtesy and care. And boy, howdy, that is so true. Sometimes it just amazes me. You know, people are jockeying for positions on freeways and in their companies, as I said. And the stress is crazy. But the church must be a place, has to be, shall be a place where we all can come to be accepted, to be loved, to be encouraged and built up. A place where there are people to help us carry our burdens. The whole purpose that Christ had for coming down and giving his life for us was to give us sanctuary, to build us up, to help carry our burdens. Many times you hear, you know, my yoke is easy. It's not. I mean, we don't make it easy. So the church should be the place where people can come and be renewed, be refreshed, you know? No matter who they are, where they are on life's journey. If you see, well, I'm going to put this one. You see that we treat each other with love. And you see wonderful things happening because of it. Then you look around and you say, I can do this. So this New Year's let us make sure we display a positive attitude about ourselves, our church, and others. These people who I was just speaking of, these fictitious people, but I'm sure you know people that are like this. They see their minister sitting at the bar, standing, I guess would be the more appropriate thing. And they say, wow, so this is what preachers do. And then, you know, it starts. If we treat each other with love, then wonderful things will happen. People need people. And yes, that's a great song, but it's the truth. God made us to need each other. He put that written on our hearts. We were never meant to be alone. That's why, you know, God looked down and said, Adam, you're really cool, but you are going to get so lonely. Let me take one of your ribs, and I'm going to make somebody for you. And there she was. Even Adam wasn't meant to be alone. People need people. But more than that, people need positive people, a constant positive influence. If you've spent the majority of your life in a negative vacuum and you say, I'm going to try this thing that Reverend Judy has trying to, you know, muddle through and teach me about attitude. Yeah. See, maybe more than any other, maybe that more than any other ought to be our New Year's resolution this year. As part of our change for better, be a constant positive influence in life for someone or someones. You know, wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be positive. And as I look at my life, I'm going to say, well done. It's good to be positive. And take that chance and walk through the doors of a church of whatever denomination you're from and say, I want to come back. And maybe you're a 39-year-old gay man. And you make mention to the ushers that you want to come back, that I'm going to live a positive life. I'm going to look at my life, change what needs to be changed, and stop drinking the poison. And I'm going to be positive as I look at others. You know, each year when the ball drops, you know, I get all emotional and people get kisses and hugs and stuff. And I'm looking around and saying, this is the way it should be. This is a positive thing. You know, I'm going to be positive with my life. I'm going to be that person that people look at and say, man, I can go to her anytime and get, you know, good solid advice with a joke or two. So we're a year closer to heaven than we were last time or last year. Everything is, of course, on people. We control. You control what you feel, not somebody else. Sure, they may have said something really crude to you, but you control your feelings. And you can trust God to help you put that positive energy, that life force, changing life force inside, and really cool things will happen. I mean, I'm not sure about a lot of things that happen in the world. I'm a little detached from the hubbub of business now that I'm retired. But in looking back at a few ways I climbed that ladder, I always think, wow, I could have fallen any minute. And would anybody have heard? Maybe not. So I encourage you tonight to just take this whole concept of thinking positive, of being positive, of turning your life around just to do a simple New Year's resolution that hopefully you'll be able to carry through the year. We're going to make a change for the better on a small scale, on a large scale, whatever. We are going to change for the better, whatever needs to happen in us. We're going to change. And when that change takes place, it's going to be a really cool thing. All right. So we end early tonight. And all I want to say to you is, if you have something that's just been bugging you like forever and you can't seem to shake it, you can't seem to get away from it, it keeps coming back like a bad virus, some thought, something that's keeping you, that's dropping that curtain between you and God, write it down and send it to me in an email. RevJudy@closerwalkwithyou.com. Write it to me. I'll answer it. All right. Grace and peace.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8. And please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasler.